Guys, good afternoon. Welcome to Q&A Political Week in Review. I'm Adrian Francis. Quincy Park is running a bit late. Little car issues. He's going to be here in a minute. I want to say good afternoon to all of you and to those of you who listen to talk radio. Q&A, of course, is 2017. We are a few months. Who knows exactly when the bell will ring, but we are a very short ways away from the general election from the proroguing of our parliament. And the game is heating up. We're going to know very soon who all the players are. I still am not convinced that everybody who are in leadership across the board in this country know who all the players will be. But I want to say good afternoon to all the leaders of these political parties. Who do we have? We got so much political parties now, we don't even know who all is out there. But to the established parties, from both Dr. Hubert Menes and Perry Gladstone Christie, and then to the leader of the Democratic National Alliance. I don't know what in the world they are anymore, because I don't know whether they're alliance, they're married, they're coalition. I don't know what in the world they are. All this stuff is going to be cleared up very shortly. I got some information. I can't wait till Quincy get here on what that coalition is going to look like. And I want to bounce some things off Quincy as it relates to that. There's so much going on right now politically. So many questions being asked. One of the biggest thoughts that has come out this past week. Simba, I don't see the text line. Where in the world is the text line? Well, while Simba looking at the text line, I don't know what happened to the text line, but... Oh, you had the text line. You was texting somebody? You were sneaking something in on Christy? I thought Christy was going to send you a message. We're hoping to have the leader of the country on 2 to 4 next week. And so I thought Quincy, Simba got an insight on that. But guys, it's intriguing to me. Words coming from the DNA this week, Rama McCartney, emphatically almost denying coalition relationship with one Loretta Butler Turner. And that has caused a spin in the opposition world. These fringed opposition parties and all this crew that are out there. I had the opportunity to interview Greg Morse this past week. And I'm telling you, the issues are far and in between on how all these fringe parties intend to take on the top juggernauts for Parliament over the next few weeks and months. So the question today is simple. Can they all get it together in time to defeat the establishment, to defeat the Progressive Liberal Party? Last night, I had opportunities to speak with one Alfred Says. And we had a very good conversation. He gave me part of his document, his dossier, a vision for our revolution, transforming the Bahamas for the 21st century. I had an opportunity to read through it a little bit last night. And we're going to go through it with one of his supporters today. But again, the question is actually going to be, can Alfred Gray defeat Perry Gladstone Christie in a primary to become the leader of the Progressive Liberal Party? And if not, with all these grandiose ideas, what happened to the ideas if defeated? And that's one of the questions I asked Alfred Says last night. And those of you who know Alfred Says know that, one, he's a very positive man. Two, he's a very smart man. And he articulates always from a position of positiveness. He always believes that the glasses are full. But he, without a doubt, made it very clear. Win or not win, it's about the people and what the people says. He said that he spent a lot of time on the island talking to persons on the islands about what his ideas are. He's been getting a very good response, he said to me last night, great response. And now he wants to begin to change the dynamics as far as what is, so that what is can now become a reality of what could be. We had a very good conversation last night. Alfred says has always been open. We've always had good conversations. And I believe at the end of the day, some of the things he talked about, the expansion of the aviation sector, agriculture, marine resource expansion. The word expansion is used plenty. Maritime expansion, diversification, and economic growth. There are any number of things that he would speak of when it comes to development and expansion of what is right now as it relates to the Progressive Liberal Party and to governance here in the Bahamas. So Alfred says he's trying to be a player, and he would be, I think, a game changer knocking off Perry Glatzo and Christie if he can. I was asked this week, if I thought he stood a chance. I was asked several questions like that this past week. And I want to be quite frank. Somebody asked me if I thought Loretta Butler Turner would win Long Island. And I'm going to save a whole lot of that for when Quincy gets here. Do I believe Alfred says can defeat Perry Christie? I don't know. I did not believe that Donald Trump will beat Hillary Clinton. I didn't believe that. I pulled for the Chicago Cubs, and you know how I feel about the Cubs. I'm a hardcore Cub fan. We didn't win since 1908. That's a done deal. The Cubs won. And if you want to talk about things that happened that were strange in 2016, coming into 17, even the Miami Dolphins made the playoff this year. And so, who the hell knows? Anything could happen. And so, I don't know exactly what's going to happen. Let's switch these around, Quincy. I don't know what's going to happen. So, Quincy, I prefaced everything today by talking about what is possible and what isn't impossible. Some of the. Well, you don't expect. I leave my glasses in the car. You don't expect me to sit up with three glasses. You see how tiny this stuff is.
Yeah, I know. But that's just so we could fit everything on it. Good afternoon, everybody. I wanted to say, Adrian, Happy New Year. 2016 was a pleasure working with you.
The last time I saw you was smoking a cigar.
Yeah, that's.
Is this what happened, my damn? Yeah. Last time I saw you, you were in full party mode.
Well, I don't know if I call it party mode. Every once in a while, I will sit on my porch with a cigar and a nice single malt scotch while I read my book and enjoy life.
Listen, man, congratulations to you. I'm happy holidays. I'm the end of what was. And also, welcome to 2017.
Look here. I have a commitment to make to Q&A listeners. We have a reputation, you and I, Adrian, for being hard on people. And then on occasion not being as hard on other people. That is a perception that is out there. I know you and I disagree with that perception. In addition to a commitment to try and educate our listeners as much as possible in what matters and what's important in our local politics, I think that we also have a duty to remove the lotion from the discussion. We have been...
You're being very sensitive today.
We've been gentle with some people who we ought not have been gentle with. Mea culpa, mea culpa, maxi mea culpa. My commitment is no lotion this year. It's too important for...
This guy comes out of the woods shooting for 2017.
Because in a couple of months, the Bahamian people are going to the polls in their tens of thousands. They're going to make a decision that is going to affect the transition of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas into a 21st, 22nd century nation, or back into the Dark Ages. It's that stark. If we go with a Christie PLP, we go in back. We go in into the Dark Ages. If we go with a Sayers-led PLP, in my view, we're moving forward. if we go with a free national movement led by Hubert Minnis, the ball is still, the coin is still in the air as to whether we're going forward. But my view is at least we're not going back. I don't think the DNA is a realistic option. I don't think the Bahamas National Democratic, the Bahamas National Coalition Party has made enough inroads to become the government. I don't think a new party led by Loretta Butler Turner will win the government. I think it will certainly win enough seats to make it
So before you finish your dialogue or
this back, my opening statement
or back and forth, where are we going back and forth? I just want you to know that after you would have finished, mm-hmm. you would give some reason why who is going forward and who is going back.
Yeah, exactly.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, certainly. I don't know what the new party, if there is a new party, is going to be called, led by Loretta Butler Turner, but I know that she has, let me rephrase, I don't know, I understand that she has committed to run as an independent in Long Island. I don't know how.
Is that right?
I don't know how that will make her or position her to become prime minister. That positions her to win her seat, but you can't govern just with one seat. And for my money, this is all about governance. What's going to happen in 2017, whether it's in April, May, whether it's in March, as I'm beginning to suspect late March, then you have to make some determinations. The reason that I say a Christie administration is going backwards is because I believe the PLP under Perry Christie has strayed from its constitution. I don't believe the PLP of today is the PLP that Lyndon Pinling and A.D. Hanna and the rest of his inner circle would have fought for. I think it is what circumstances and bad decisions will have made of the PLP. I think that the true heart of the PLP that was became the FNM, and I think that the FNM has squandered an opportunity to make a play for the hearts and minds of the Bahamian people. And I think, unfortunately, for our local politics, it's still a choice between the PLP and the FNM.
Well,
and I think that the PLP will have to make a serious decision in a couple of weeks.
Well, let me say to you, Quincy, mm-hmm. I had the opportunity to speak with Alfred Sayers last night, and as straightforward mm-hmm. as you are, I don't think he's going to defeat Perry Christie.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think at all. I think since we're shooting straight without lotion, I think Alfred Sayers has some grandiose vision and mm-hmm. an excellent plan. Unfortunately for all of us in our culture, it does not work like that, not when it comes to our primaries. Mm-hmm. And you and I would both know and understand that if the primaries were, if the playing field were level in the primaries, Loretta Butler Turner would probably be leading the FNM.
I don't even think it's about a level playing field when it comes to that. Listen to me, please. I listen in, brother. What happened?
the bottom line is, I believe at the end of the day, the way the whole system is structured, whether the FNM wins, Alfred Sayers win, or whether you think we're going forward, I believe we have a torn system, somewhat so, that the torn system, whether it's a new face or new players, I believe it's the same game. And because I believe it's the same game, I believe that it'll take almost a miracle, a revolutionary miracle. That's why I when talking to Alfred Sayers last night, a vision for our revolution. I believe it's going to take a revolution, and I believe it's going to take a system change, not a people change, in order for anything significant to happen. I believe we play musical chairs. And until I see something different systemically, listen, I don't have you don't have no time for lotion. You take the stick or I'll push it in. The bottom line is, I believe at the end of the day, until we have something that's changed systemically, I do believe we need change. I believe we need change.
Let me ask you a question.
Go ahead,
Adrian. And this is my fundamental question for all of you who talk about systems as if a system is its own thing. Who changes or builds systems?
Who changes who builds systems? I mean, we've had this discussion.
I need you to answer the question.
Repetitively, we've had this discussion. I don't think that's going to.
Who changes and who builds systems? Systems do not bring themselves into being.
First of all, right? In order for you to bring in a person who's going to change whatever, wherever you're going with it. Let me play three steps ahead of you. Wherever you're going with it, whether people build systems or not, the persons who you're hoping, Alfred says, who you're hoping to build a system or what you call something new. The truth is, he is a part of the old guard, and I don't believe nothing actually changes with him. I think people don't care who write on it. That's what they always say. People don't care who write on it. And paper and things written down don't create new systems. You believe that?
I will say to you this. You and I share, in addition to our experience in the media, we share some experience at Oral Roberts University. We share experience at Bahamas Faith Ministries. We share experience at Zion Baptist East in Shirley. We go back a long ways. One of the things that you have always said, and it's a very popular quote in the evangelical Christian church, is that when God wants to change something, he sends a man.
You always have a baby.
Right? God does not change something by changing the system. He changes something, according to you, any number of times on this show, by having a baby. Why? Because people change systems. Systems don't change themselves, and systems don't change people. I believe systems reveal people. I believe that an honest man going into a system, if he is an honest man going in, chances are he'll be an honest man coming out. I believe a person who goes into a system with vulnerabilities in his character and in his morality will have the opportunity to display those vulnerabilities. You're not going to become a criminal just because somebody presents you the opportunity to commit a crime. It's not a matter of a presentation of opportunity. It is a matter of what is inside of you. And this is my issue with the way we've been playing politics. People who think that, for example, it matters who the prime minister is or who the leader of the party is when it's time for them to make their election selection, when it's time for them to vote on somebody in their constituency, are playing the system game. They believe that one man, whoever that one man or one woman is somehow able to arrange and reflect and change the character of an entire system that has taken. We've been a parliamentary democracy since 1729. So this is going on 300 years almost of what we've been doing.
So we're going to perfect what is. You're going to put somebody
you
in.
You can't change a system just by saying the system needs to change.
No, listen to what I'm saying to you. And I hear you because I think internally what you say in a whole lot of ways makes sense. And one of the things I keep telling people, there are some folks who believe that you and I argue on the show. We don't argue. Mm-hmm. We debate. And the question to me very simply is this. We're going to select or elect someone who is going to enhance what already exists. Is that what you're telling me?
I am saying to you that if you have a person who is determined mm-hmm. on entry into a system mm-hmm. that system has flaws and needs to change, mm-hmm. that person will change the system. And I will give you some examples. The first and most important for what we are doing today example mm-hmm. is Hubert Ingraham had an idea about the inappropriateness of the government being the only voice on the radio mm-hmm. and the only voice on the television. As a result, he made a policy decision that when he became prime minister, he did what was necessary to allow opposition voices on the airwaves. And as a result, the way we do politics and the way we do national discussion and national development has been irrevocably changed. There are people who are going to vote or not vote in 2017 based on what you, Adrian Francis, have said. You have that much influence. And you have that much influence because a person decided to change the system. Not because the system decided, oh, somehow we need opposition voice. A system is an inanimate object. It cannot make decisions.
You know, while I agree.
It cannot make choices.
While I agree, and I know we have.
People make decisions and choices.
While I agree with some of your thoughts, because I think at the end of the day, it's not whole truth, but I believe in a lot of what you're saying. And I know we need to include our
guests. Yeah, our guest is coming in a little bit.
In our conversation, so mm-hmm. I want a better mind this year. Someone told me that, you know, I was on your show, and it seems as if I came on your show to hear y'all talk. So I want to make sure this year we don't put on a show for nobody. Mm. I'd like to hear.
Maybe that person didn't understand the nature of the show, but okay, go ahead.
That's the first thing. You keep writing on the doggone show, and I keep telling you no.
Doesn't matter.
But listen,
doesn't matter.
Listen,
my statement stands.
I do believe at the end of the day, there are some aspect of time that causes things to evolve. Mm-hmm. And I believe that without any fighting of any individual, there are some things that will automatically almost evolve into what it becomes. And I think for the most part, you're going to see politically a lot of that happens almost automatically. There is going to be some external forces. And I don't think it's going to be, I think what we've done, Quincy, is this. First of all, I think we've confused leadership with parliament. And for the most part, if there's going to be any significant change that's going to happen, and I'm not just legislative changes, if there's going to be any significant changes in our country, I think what Renard and the rest of them says make a whole lot of sense. There's going to be some rising up. And I believe that you're going to see some.
But you're making my argument, Adrian.
I may be making your argument. I tell you, you are carrying some truth, but not whole. The reality is, though, I think it's going to be an evolution. Some of the changes are going to be evolutionary changes. And so for the most part, do we need someone in parliament of some significance with some conviction to bring about some element of change? Hell yeah. Do we need someone to actually rise, someone to emerge? Hell yeah. Is this person going to be anti-establishment? I don't know. Foments cause wars and fighting among you. Do they not come from within your own members?
But they become, they are driven by the people. They are driven by an individual who has a commitment or a conviction. That's what I'm getting to. The reason that I brought this little chart today is because I want to go through this mm-hmm. name by name. And I want you to tell me, and I want our guests to tell me, of the three names or four names in this constituency, the ratified candidates, mm-hmm. or the candidates who we can fairly comfortably suggest or assume mm-hmm. who wins. Because I'm not going to say which party they're affiliated with mm-hmm. because it ain't about party. Party is our problem. Party is what's wrong with the 40-something percent of the electorate that feels that it is their turn when their party is in. Party is what has gotten us in the mess we're in now.
I agree with you. I believe that we are at a weird place. I asked Greg Morris this past week whether or not we are seeing the end of the establishment and also the end of party politics. And before he was about to answer on the establishment, before he could abide on party, he had to pause quick.
Yes, he did.
Let's take a break. We have to take this quick break. And after the break, guys, we're going to introduce our guest in studio.
And I see you passed me this text. We can read some of these text messages as well.
We have a lot of texts coming in. We're going to introduce a guest in studio. We're going to continue this dialogue. Now, I have to look at this thing Quincy gave me. I might have to run downstairs for my glasses. my God. I can't
believe
it.
It's very, very fine print. Yeah, even with my glasses, I can barely read it.
Let's take a break and more from Q&A here in a moment.
Original. Did you know that Ensure Original is a source of complete balanced nutrition?
Ensure Original.
Every ready-to-drink shake is packed with 26 essential vitamins and minerals, including antioxidants.
Ensure Original.
Enjoy Ensure Original for breakfast, lunch, or as a delicious between-meal snack to help meet your daily nutritional needs. Try Ensure Original today.
Ensure Original. Original.
Wake up. Weekday mornings, join us for the show that's shaking up Bahamian Radio. Morning Blend with Dwight Strong.
I must say, you all have raised the level of talk shows.
I think you have the best show that's going on right now for young people.
And I just want to tell you guys you're doing a great job.
For national and international news and entertainment, talk and analysis.
I'm impressed with the type of show that you're running.
With different perspectives from what you may be used to.
And the station has really, you know, I think, gotten the country to really start thinking about things and stop looking at things from, you know, just from politicians' promises.
Morning Blend with Dwight Strawn, weekday mornings from 6 to 9 on Guardian Radio 96.9.
When are you guys going to be online? I find myself just in my car, just holding on to every last word. I don't have a radio in the office, though. If I listen to you, I have to listen to you online.
We're online, guardiantalkradio.com. Wake up, it's a new day.
Welcome to Premier Properties, the ultimate real estate guide. Each month, immerse yourself in an unprecedented and ever-growing catalog of luxury real estate listings in some of the most sought-after destinations in the Bahamas.
Hi, I'm Gavin Christie, managing partner at C.A. Christie Real Estate. We took advantage of listing our luxury real estate in the Premier Properties Real Estate Guide and have experienced tremendous success in just 2 short months. Thanks to Premier Properties, all eyes are on C.A. Christie.
Premier Properties, the ultimate real estate guide, offers access to detailed property information as well as property feature filters that connect you with luxury real estate and real estate network professionals who can answer any questions and lead you on a journey to discover your next dream property. Pick up your copy today in the Nassau Guardian. Premier Properties, the ultimate real estate guide. We bring you home.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Q&A, the Political Week in Review. Before we get into our wonderful guest and the rest of the discussion that we're going to have today, I want to read a couple of these text messages. This one says, Mr. Francis, you know as I know that there's no way possible that Alfred Sayers would challenge the untouchable Prime Minister for the leadership of the PLP. If it wasn't for the Prime Minister's idea in Progressive, the Liberal Party, not one of them has the courage or manhood to challenge Mr. Christie. Politics is the dirtiest, dishonest. And they says we should not have a leader for more than 2 terms. I'm so disgusted. Simba, I know that that you were holding on to this. Do you have a charger for this this machine?
Charger's here.
Charger's here. All right. We about to lose our text messages in a second. I think that's something that I want to bring to the table, Adrian. Is this this feeling that despite his intentions or his is spoken intentions. Alfred is not really presenting a serious challenge, but that Christie is pulling the strings behind the scenes. I've heard that from so many people. I've also heard, and this goes to the questions that I'd like to ask our guest, that the stalwart counselors and others in the PLP who are the ones who will vote on a new leader or retaining the leadership believe that Alfred somehow abridged PLP protocol by challenging Mr. Christie. They believe that there is something wrong in the way he has gone about presenting himself as an alternative. I heard that with my own ears, less than a week ago, in conversation with a stalwart counselor who I know and love deeply.
So what is the question?
So the question is, I mean, how realistic a shot does the Sayers candidacy have when the stalwart council and people who are PLP delegates and who are likely to vote still seem to have some negative feeling about the fact that Sayers is challenging Christie as opposed to, and what I heard was, you know, they should have had a meeting, and if they decided not to go forward with Mr. Christie, then some committee should have come to the party and made a presentation, and the party should have agreed that, you know, that okay, we're going forward with Alfred instead of Perry Christie.
What was the question?
I heard it, and I said to myself, well, when we bring a guest in, we'll get to that. That is an almost insurmountable obstacle. So the question is, are either of these political parties, any of them, because I don't know what the DNA party strategy is either, are they set up for actual change, or is Adrian right about the party structure and that it's a system and it doesn't matter who's played? Is it an instrument that it doesn't matter who's playing?
Let's introduce our guest so we could save and give him an enormous amount of time to be involved in the conversation. One of the things that I cherish the question, because I do believe at the end of the day that we have built systems well. It seems as though even in primaries, some of the persons who are entering the primaries are at a disadvantage. Quincy. Let's introduce our guest.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, we are joined this afternoon by Keenan Johnson. Keenan is an old school, even though he's a young man, PLP. I think you were on the party's council at one point. Are you still? I know you held an office in the party.
Yeah, I'm the former national chairman of the Progressive Young Liberals.
Right.
I was also one of the deputy national campaign coordinators for the PLP in the 2012 election.
Right. So it is with some degree of certainty, familiarity, that you speak about the inner workings of the Progressive Liberal Party.
That's correct.
So let's begin with that question. As a former office holder in the party, is it possible for Alfred Sayers to actually have a real shot at unseating Perry Christie, given the makeup
let
of
him
the party?
Situation,
let me
you had four names.
Let me respond by saying this. I'm not going to say it's possible. I'm going to say it's going to happen. I'll tell you why. The general public are of the view that the prime minister, the current leader of the party, can't be beaten because there's a huge base, the stalwart councillors, whom he's appointed. Mm-hmm. And as a result, there's some level of loyalty. My response to that is very simple, that the stalwart councillors, while they have a level of loyalty to the leader of the party, their first loyalty as it relates to the party is to the party. Their loyalty is to the PLP and what we can do to win. And I didn't fully appreciate that until I started to travel with Mr. Sayers, until I started visiting the homes of various stalwart councillors, for them to understand, listen, how can we ensure that we remain in power for the next 5 years? And the answer is very simple. We have a man here who has released a vision, who has the ability, knowing that the base of all parties, because that level of loyalty to any party from the outside has shrunk. And so who can grasp the, not just the base, but the independent voters, the intellectuals, and even some of the persons from the other party? Alfred says has shown in his candidacy that he has the ability to not just attract PLPs or disillusioned PLPs, but also those from the FNM and those who are independent.
How do you quantify that, though? I mean, I hear what you're saying, and I believe at the end of the day, based on vision and based on what's documented, Alfred says he's gone on a campaign to unseat Perry Christie. And you ought to go.
He's not going on a campaign to unseat Perry Christie. He's gone on a campaign to win the leadership of the PLP.
He will be unseating Perry Christie. Yeah, I don't want to play with the semantics, but the bottom line is he's going on a campaign, let's say, to beat Perry Christie as a leader, to unseat Perry Christie as the leader, because Perry Christie intends to run again. The bottom line, though, you're saying that he's been able to, in some way, win the hearts of, whether it's the oppositional base, he's been able to cause some other person to gravitate to some of what he's saying based on his vision. And based on the things that he would have shared, my only question is, how do you quantify?
But I'll say this. First of all,
quantify it for us.
You know, you've mentioned something earlier when we speak about parties and the fact that people are actually kind of fed up with this whole FNM and PLP and the traditional way of how we vote. The main thing is that when you look at the way the parties have operated, it's always been they've always campaigned in a way that's anti the other party.
Mm-hmm.
And so what Alfred says has done. And that's why I had to make that correction to say that he's vying for the candidacy of the PLP, because his cry to the stalwarts and the delegates and also after convention cry to the Bahamian people is, I want you to vote for me based on what I offer to you. And I put that in writing. I've shown you what I'm prepared to do. I've shown you that I've had the plans, and not just some superficial plans, but sensible, realistic plans that can be implemented from day one. You look at the policy that's been given to the Bahamian people. You're talking about a story that's being told in this booklet. And I say a story because, first of all, before you can go into expanding the economy and how do we make more money, we need to look at how we can save the money that we're squandering now.
I think you and I would agree on all that you would have said. My only thing is, based on your opening saga, you made it very clear of the attraction and the draw that he may have been getting. My only thing is, can you quantify it?
Well, let me say this. You have had persons.
Have you been able to? You've had persons. We've had segments that you would have gone to. Let's say it's any number of areas that you would have gone to. Are you guys documenting the strengths and the rises for Alfred says in certain areas?
Well, are you doing any polling? I guess
we are doing that. Let me say that was done well before he even decided to announce that he was going to be a candidate. This at no point was some sort of educational exercise. This was always a fight that we believed that we would win.
I remember that there was a poll that was released, that I got access to, that was done prior to his launch. But I think Adrian is asking, since he launched his campaign and has done all that he has done, what quantifiable, measurable difference can you relate to us here today? How can you prove the progress he's making?
And you know what? The thing about it is, first of all, let me say that even in terms of, and we're speaking solely about his candidacy for the PLP here,
mm-hmm.
We're not trying to prove to the general public that we have this empirical research, more so than understanding that what we've done is created a quiet revolution, where we've gone to the houses of stalwarts and delegates, knowing that we've compiled our own data, mm-hmm. knowing what the numbers are. For example, if we know that we're going to have 1,000 delegates,
mm-hmm.
we know that we need 501 to win.
Yes.
We know what those numbers are. Mm-hmm. And I would just implore persons to understand that the way this system, and it goes back to the system, the way the system in the PLP even is set up, you're not going to have the world of persons that are going to come out in the public. For example, a cabinet minister who has some level of responsibility and official loyalty to the prime minister coming out and saying, I support Alfred Says. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean that they do not support. And you have stalwart councillors that will not necessarily come out and say, I support Alfred Says, which may to some believe, you know, be an indication that they may not support other things. They're not going to go public with that. But what they know is that, and they believe this, that internal business should be handled internally,
mm-hmm.
and they will make their secret ballot known to themselves and make it count when it does, and that's January 24th.
You know, one of the things I would say, Keenan and Quincy, is this. I believe that Alfred Says is running against Perry Glasson Christie for the leadership of the Progressive Liberal Party, just as Loretta Butler Turner would have ran against Dr. Hubert Minnis. I think it's the salvaging and the saving of our democracy. I take my hat off to Alfred Says for contesting, sticking his neck out for the most part, because you and I would both know that, you know, with no skin in the game, people are playing him out. And so I take my hat off to Mr. Says for putting his putting skin in the game. There are any number of other persons who talk about leading the PLP, but there is no skin in the game. And then not only putting skin in the game, putting some thought behind it.
Yes. There's a... The unfortunately, our machine seems to have died on us here. There's a text that I wanted to read that speaks to the skepticism, Keenan, that I'm talking about. The text talks about the fact that, well, their view, not the fact. They talk about their view that Sayers is, even today, I mean, Sayers has been running this campaign for months now, but here it is, this person is convinced that Sayers' candidacy is a concoction of Christie designed to keep other people from challenging him.
And if I remember that text correct, it's not necessarily because of anything more than the idea that people really don't believe that anyone has the wherewithal or the, let me not use those words, but people really don't believe that anyone has what it takes to go against the leader because of this perceived strength mm-hmm. that he has within the party. And don't get me wrong, I'm being a leader for some 20 years now. He's done a lot of good, not just for the party, but for the country. But this is all about the fact that we as Team Says, are prepared to take the country, the party, to the next level. And the next level being when we speak about the fact that we have a systematic issue. And I disagree to the extent that, you know, people won't change the system, because the reality is the system won't change unless you have someone who has that ability, or, you know, who has that mandate to go and change the system. And that is one of the things our policy even speaks about. It speaks about the fact that, you know what, we have too much power given to the prime minister.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes a different and a man with a serious heart for the people to go and become prime minister and limit his own power.
Yeah. I mean, I've read the Alfred Says' vision, and I think a lot of people have. It's been out and available for a number of months now. Okay. Let's get down to a different discussion, because I don't want to rob the other discussion that I wanted to have with Adrian. But this, I mean, there was another text here that talked about, the machine is charging up, so I'll read it as soon as it's juicy. But there's a view of our politics that it is very suspicious of motive. For instance, when I talked about Ingram freeing up the airways, quote unquote, there was a texter there who responded and said, I gave Ingram way too much credit. And they listed a couple of instances in which Mr. Christie has attempted to change the system as well. Among them, I think they listed stem cell research and the numbers gaming institution. I would challenge both of those fundamentally, but I let the texter's point be the texter's point. So what it comes down to is, does Team Says genuinely believe, number one, that Christie is vulnerable, number two, that Alfred Sayers can beat Perry Christie, and number three, that an Alfred Sayers-led PLP can govern the Bahamas?
One, let's start with number one. The country is vulnerable. That's the first thing. Mm-hmm. And because the country is vulnerable, people are, the stalwarts, the delegates included, of course, realize that it's now time for that change. It's not past election. We wait till election comes and then we go towards another change. It's now time for us to move into this election with a viable option. And I would venture to say that most persons today have not seen that viable option and now going to vote for what they may consider to be the lesser of two evils, or three evils, or four evils, or five evils, however you want to look at it. And so people generally, and I think that even with your conversations and people that may be texting, they've never had the thought that, hey, I'm questioning if Alfred Sayers can lead the country. Their thought is more along the lines of, I'm questioning if Alfred Sayers can win in the PLP to then lead the country. And so, you know, people would clearly say, you know what? Yeah, he'll make a good prime minister, but he's not going to be Perry Christie. And you have to appreciate that if you're going to say that Alfred Sayers can't beat Perry Christie, that's saying that the stalwarts and the delegates are not living in the same country as you. That's saying that the stalwarts and the delegates are not having the same issues that you're having. And that's saying the stalwarts and the delegates do not want the PLP to be in the best position to win the government again.
Or,
and so to answer your question specifically, mm-hmm. I have every belief that on January 26th, that Alfred Sayers will be the leader of the PLP, and the empirical research that we speak of, you'll see and appreciate the mood of the country changing once that takes place.
Respond to your optimism by saying, I think that we are all aware that the stalwarts and delegates do not live in the same country that you and I live in. If they did, then I do not think Mr. Christie could have held on to power within the Progressive Liberal Party for as long as he has, frankly speaking.
Well, let's look at that. One, we have to discount the 7 years. Mm-hmm. We have to discount 7 years because we haven't had a convention, yes. Right? So Perry Christie ran in 97 mm-hmm. and became the leader in 97 and again in 98. He won and became prime minister in 2002. Mm-hmm. We had two conventions since then.
Yes.
He had an opportunity to finish his term because we had a convention in 2005. In opposition, he had one challenger. And we have to look at the dynamics of that. Two challengers in 2009. Look at the dynamics of those challengers. First of all, one of the challengers was the same person that challenged him the first two times, mm-hmm. Who would have left the party and then just recently came back some 4 years later, 4 years before he challenged. The other being someone who was absolutely new to the party, Paul Moss. Mm-hmm. And so how many opportunities have we really had to see this democracy take place in the party?
Let me ask you a question. When was the last PLP convention?
2009.
Right. Now, prior to that convention, Alfred Sayers, Fred Mitchell, to an extent, I believe Brave Davis, and two others had all indicated a desire to run for leadership of the Progressive Liberal Party. In addition to Paul Moss, and it was BJ, if I'm not mistaken. Those people chose not to challenge at the end of the day Mr. Christie for leadership. If I remember correctly, he and Mother Pratt ran unopposed or were unopposed on election night in the convention.
In 2009?
I believe I'm remembering.
In 2009, he was opposed by BJ Nottage mm-hmm. and Paul Moss.
Let me say, I'm a Let me ask you.
Convention at a subsequent time, or one day convention subsequent. No,
the last two conventions would have been 2005, 2009.
Let me ask you, Kenan. I'm remembering something. I want to ask you two questions.
You may be speaking about the 2005 convention.
Yeah, let me ask you two questions. But one, I want you to speak to immediately. Perry Christie, in your view, is not the answer carrying our country forward.
I think Perry Christie has led the country as far as he could take it. I think it's now time for a generation that has lost an opportunity to some extent because of, you know, the idea that we don't have two terms, right? But nonetheless, a generation with some views that can take us beyond the idea that the only way we can bring money into this economy is foreign direct investment and being able to expand our economy. And I believe that Alfred Sayers is the one who can take that mantle from Perry Christie and move forward.
Okay, so Perry Christie, foreign direct investment, all the other stuff that goes with it. If Christie defeats Sayers, your PLP, how do you go forward supporting him? Somebody who you feel does not have the wherewithal, in your view, with the foreign direct investment as our base and all the other things as our base. How do you go about Kenan Johnson supporting Perry Christie?
Well, first of all, let me say that my main point to you was, once again, and this is why I said that this is not a challenge against Perry Christie, this is a challenge for the PLP leadership. And I say that because I want you to appreciate that, yes, I do believe that Alfred Sayers is the best person, whether it was Perry Christie or someone else that he was contesting. Mm-hmm. So that means that even if Perry Christie decided that for some reason or the other he was not going to run, I would still be on the show speaking about Alfred Sayers for PLP leadership.
Okay, so if
Alfred Sayers is not the leader moving from this election, then we have to put ourselves in a position to decide how we can best change our party moving forward. And that, to me, is not division. That, to me, is working internally to ensure that we can do what we have to do through other means.
If Sayers is defeated, who would you say would be the better of the evils that are out there, the names that you see out there? Because that's the one question I wrote down, Quincy, that I think makes sense to me. Mm-hmm. You talk about we'd probably be voting for the better of the evils. If Sayers is not the winner, who would you see as an alternative?
Well, you know what? I'll say this, and I said this in 2012, and I'll say it again, that even if you look at leadership, yes, we have an issue with leadership straight across the board in both parties. But you then have to look at the team, because I personally believe that the PLP, with the candidates that they fielded, and yes, even with some of the issues that we've had in the past 5 years, has the best team, has the best united team, the best organized team to lead the country. Now, the thing is, we must not put ourselves in a position, I'm speaking about the PLP, where we are only the best by default. And so, if you want to go, if we can go into the election and win by default, knowing fully well that the FNM is crippled, and they're crippled from a leadership standpoint, they're crippled from a divisive standpoint, they're crippled from even some of the candidates that they've come. Mind you, and I will say is that they've had a lot of credible candidates, but they're crippled in so many aspects. We want to put ourselves in the best position where people will vote for the PLP because of the merits of the PLP and what they're going to bring, as opposed to the discrediting of the FNM.
All right, you've provided me a brilliant segue into what I wanted to do with respect to these candidates.
You make a good politician, I must say. Your answers are always your answers always have some sad attachments that I think most politicians bring to the table. I believe that the one thing I hear from you substantively is that you support the PLP, but the question is, but more than just that, you support the leadership of Alfred Sayers moving forward in our country.
That's correct.
I'm going to say some names. What I've done is created a spreadsheet with the names of all the ratified candidates and all of the proposed
A spreadsheet?
Candidates.
That's what you call a spreadsheet?
Yeah. For
I didn't know that.
The Free National Movement, the Progressive Liberal Party, the Democratic National Alliance, the what I'm calling the Starfish Coalition for now, the Bahamas National Coalition Party, Independent, and the United Democratic Movement, the United People's Movement, and then I have a category here called Spoilers. And we're going to go through these names constituency by constituency on the other side of this break. And I'm going to ask Keenan and Adrian to call each constituency based not on the party, but on the candidate.
My favorite, my favorite constituency is Bamboo Town. Let's take the break, guys. I love Bamboo Town.
Car is really smelly and you don't know what to do. We have got the solution. Pick up a prickle or two. We all are way Bahamian. You can see it in our design. We're promoting our own culture, cause we got you in mind.
Prickle Air Fresheners can be purchased at Rolls Auto East Street South, the Paint Depot on Mont Royal Avenue, and SO Palmdale Station. Get a prickle today. The scent that sticks.
Get a prickle, cause you'll get the scent that sticks. Get a prickle.
Fair, accurate, balanced, and objective. That's the focus of our discussion on Let's Talk Live. I'm Carlton Smith. Join me weekdays from 10 a.m. to 12 noon on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Be a part of the solution. Join the national conversation today.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Q&A, the Political Week in Review. My name is Quincy Parker.
Hi, guys. I'm Adrian Francis.
We're talking to this week with Keenan Johnson, a former office holder in the Progressive Liberal Party, a member of, I guess I'll call it Team Sayers, pushing the candidacy of Alfred Sayers leader of the Progressive Liberal Party.
Before we go to our constituency, can I ask Keenan one question? Keenan, do you believe that over the last 4 years, the PLP has lost on some of its bases he wrote it?
The PLP's
base, has it eroded some?
I think that all party bases have eroded, given the fact that we're evolving as a country. That's a good thing. It's a good thing when you are not going to, because your mother was a PLP and your grandmother was a PLP, that you're just going to automatically be PLP. Mm. And so if someone can come to me and say, you know, I'm no longer PLP because of this fundamental reason, then I can appreciate that. And I would say that both parties have lost, and that's why the base maybe used to be 40-40, but it's probably now like 30-30. And that's a good thing. That means we're moving in the right direction.
Interesting answer.
Not one that I would disagree with. Okay, so Bain and Grantstown. Presuming, now this spreadsheet presumes that the constituencies will remain as they are, with the exception of the new constituency, which I'm calling St. Cecilia. Nobody has said that to me, but I suspect that that's what it's going to be called, given that's more or less where it is anyway. So, okay, so let's start at Bain and Grantstown.
Well, for young Travis Robinson, the good news would be, go ahead.
The candidates are Dr. B.J. Nottage, Travis Robinson, Brenda Harris, and I believe that is where John Bostwick Jr. is planning to run. John can call me to correct me or text me to correct me if that's not
I have no confirmation that he is, but I was about to say, you know, with young Travis Johnson, Robinson, sorry. The good news is I understand that the trailer has landed. It's in one of the warehouses out in the southwest Bahamas, with all of the F&M paraphernalia on it. And so for a young man who don't have the kind of resources to be able to it's about the people, I think, that the new theme for the FNM is.
I'm trying to do this without party affiliations.
No, it is without party. But for young Travis, Travis, who would need the resources more than anybody else, I think it would be good for him to know that the resources have landed, but BJ Nottage will blow him out. Thanks for coming.
So you think that Bain and Grantstown goes to BJ Nottage?
It's a done deal.
What about you?
I fully agree. I mean, BJ having won the constituency by some 1,200 votes last time, I would find it to be a miracle for someone to overcome that obstacle.
And you don't think that the presence of the DNA candidate Brenda Harris is going to play a role?
Is Brenda waiting for BJ?
It may play a role. all of these factions of the FNM will always play a role.
Factions of the FNM. Ladies and gentlemen, you heard it here first today. Simba, what you think? BJ go in there? Yeah, okay. Simba. So we'll call Bale in Grandstown for BJ Nottage.
You can call that now?
Yes. Bamboo Town, Adrian's favorite constituency. You have Renwood Wells versus Greg Burrows versus Branville McCartney. I have in my spoiler column Craig Butler.
I don't think he's going.
Because I don't know if Craig is going around this time. But
I don't think he is. I saw him. For the most part, he said to me he's
done.
He's focusing on business. And this was at the road traffic department. I saw him one day. And for the most part, it seemed almost a negative. All but right, who knows? Politics is a juice thing.
Right? I mean, you know.
Who knows?
So, Renwood Wells versus Greg Burrows versus Branville McCartney. I start with you, Keenan.
I think Greg Burrows is going to win. I think the same thing's going to happen as it did last election. Renwood Wells won under the PLP, having not even come close to winning the majority. Mm-hmm. And that's probably going to happen again. He's going to have to convince FNMs that he's even an FNM. And then you have that base, while it has shrunk, it's still there, the base of the PLP. And then you have those who will vote for Branville McCartney, who are mostly FNM, given where he's come from, who are going to vote for him. And so they're going to split that. And I think that Greg Burrows will become the MP for Bamboo with a better percentage than Renwood did.
Okay, Adrian.
It's interesting to me. I believe it's going to be one of the closer races in the whole elections, one of the shorter races. But I also believe that Renwood Wells stands an excellent chance being the incumbent. Mm-hmm. Being the incumbent, it says something. But one of the things that Renwood has to remember is that he's changing the color of his uniform. Mm-hmm. And the question is, if Renwood could win as an independent, then he could win that seat. Not as an FNM, then he could win the seat. Mm-hmm. I believe that this, though, this seat here will prove the beginning of the end for Branville McCartney. I don't think Bran can gusty enough. And Bran, I think, has grown a little bit over the last summer.
Has he?
Yeah, I think he's grown a little
grown
bit
in reverse,
since the last election. No, I don't think he's grown in reverse. But even in his growth, you have to bear in mind that this is about people. Mm-hmm. And I believe that we have to, the PLP in this constituency is going to be greatly underestimated.
Mm. I believe that Renwood has what it takes to win the constituency, but I believe that he is also very vulnerable for a number of reasons. He's a former PLP. He has to answer some questions about this letter of intent. I'm sure that Greg is going to make that a campaign question. I mean, he said some things about the FNM while he was a PLP that's going to be very hard for him to overcome. But I think that given that Greg ran against Chippy in St. Anne's last go-around, he's not as strong with the PLP base there as I think Renwood would have been last time. So I'm thinking it's probably going to be a little closer, and I don't think, honestly speaking, I don't think Branville is going to be much of a factor in Bamboo Town. Simba, we kind of have a halfway split here. Keenan thinks it's fairly obvious that Greg is going to win. Adrian seems to be sentimentally attached to Renwood. What do you think? You think it's up in the air?
Yeah, I think that's one of those shadow. That's one of those photo finishes.
And the only thing I would say though is that I don't think that his the fact that he's not been in that constituency very long will be
Greg.
Yeah. I don't think that would be that much of an issue. I mean, Greg Burrows is someone who has a national profile, given what he's done in the community, what he's done in
his business is in the community also.
Yeah, and so I think that I really don't think that's going to be an issue.
All right, well, I'll leave that one with a question mark for now. Carmichael, former Education Minister Desmond Bannister versus...
Has he been ratified?
Yeah. versus, he was one of the first.
Okay.
Versus junior national security minister Keith Bell versus Bushami Ambrister. And I see also the Bahamas National Coalition Party is running O'Brien Knowles in Carmichael. O'Brien, who was one of Darren Cash's campaign generals last go round. But anyway, go ahead.
No, I'm going to say that, and I'm doing this just based on statistics alone. That may be the one that's going to be completely up in the air, mostly because in a PLP swing in the last election, mm-hmm. The PLP only won that seat by 98 votes in a PLP swing.
Yes. So, and I think that with the greatest of respect to Darren, I think that if it had been Desmond Bannister, I don't think the PLP would
have won. And then you have to appreciate that Desmond wasn't the one who lost the seat, yeah. And the last time he ran there, he won.
Yeah, I do
believe that as a result of him representing that area before, mm-hmm. he does have an upper hand.
Yeah, well, what is so strange about the last election for so many persons like the Desmond Bannister and the rest of them, these persons were last secondly mm-hmm. are moved from different places and put into constituencies that... I had Keith Bell and I spent a moment together this week past, which is kind of rare because Keith Bell, I believe him, is one of those guys who I don't think he's going to win that seat.
But I will say this now.
Anyway. It'll take a lot.
It's a fight to win that seat based on who it is and where it is.
Yeah.
Right. But you know, even though Keith Bell, this will be his first time running, he was actually a national campaign coordinator for the PLP last election. So he politics and his ability to campaign is there. But he is going to have an uphill battle based on where it is mm-hmm. and who it is.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm calling this one for Desmond Bannister. I don't think Keith has a realistic chance.
He could have been the coordinator for Bill Clinton. It'll take Jesus to have him in that.
Cat Island, Rumkey, and San Salvador. Now, this one is a little tricky to talk about because of our belief, and by our I mean a bunch of other people and me. Belief that Brave Davis is not going to run in Cat Island, but going to want to run in St. Cecilia's. That's what I've heard.
That has shifted.
So I don't know what the reality of that is. I know that the FNM has ratified Gadville McDonald, but the PLP hasn't ratified anybody.
Brave Davis is going back to Cat Island. Cheryl Bazat is going to run in St. Cecilia.
Okay.
From all that I've heard, deeply inside, she's a mom. She is the St. Cecilia candidate.
Listen, you definitely have much more knowledge than I do.
Cheryl Bazard is the forerunner for St. Cecilia, the new constituency. Okay. Right. Brave Davis has been sent back to Care Island.
Sent back?
How about no?
Sent back.
Yeah, well, the answer that he got, I understand.
I think Brave Davis is going to remain where his home is and Care run Island. Again where he's always been, but I don't think he's been sent back.
Okay.
Do you think he'll win?
Yeah, I think you win. And you know what? People look at margins. The margin on the Family Islands can be a bit, you know.
Deceptive.
Yes. So, for example, someone like Alfred Gray, who will always win by 14 votes, and people say, well, it was close. But 14 votes in Michael is not necessarily.
14 is high. Normally it's 5. Yeah. As a matter of fact, he squeezed by in single digits.
I think Brave, and I don't want to be quote on this, but I think he won by a little less than 200 votes.
64? Was it 64?
Last no, less than 200.
A little less than 200. Okay. I think it's 164 or something like that. and
64 or something.
Given the grand scheme of things and that location, that's pretty good, and I think he will continue. And he's done extremely well. Yeah. He's well loved in that area, and you know, he's done a lot for that area.
I tell you what, they said that Michael Pintard.
Pintard ran him under the ground.
He ran him under the ground.
At least the FNM ran a good race in there.
You know, one of the things we have to take into consideration, Quincy, as we go through these lists,
mm-hmm.
You and I talked about this in the past. Name me a candidate in this election who could win a seat without a color. Mm-hmm. And if you take all that into consideration, then you will know that there are some persons who are shifting.
Mm-hmm.
And they will, if they can win a seat independently, then they can prove to
But him. Name a candidate who's ever, and I say this,
yeah,
right? Name a candidate who's ever won a seat without a color. And don't name Perry Christie, Hubert Ingraham, yeah. or even Tennyson Wells, yeah. those who were not yeah. really opposed
That's
by
right. That's
a,
right.
a party. So technically they had a color,
yeah.
right?
Yeah,
an unofficial color.
Since we started doing parties, we don't do independence.
No, we don't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so the reason why I bring that up is because a person like a Rembert Wells, right, who would switch from one color to the other, it says something that there's a reason why Rembert Wells would have represented in Parliament in the last 4.5 years. It's because he had on a gold shirt. Now, the question is, what effect does it have on him now that he's wearing a red shirt? And so when you see people switching and moving, and because a lot of that will play would be equally important as you look at these individuals. Mm-hmm.
So, okay, we call in Cat Island for Brave?
Yes.
Yeah, I think so too.
All right. Central and South Abaco. James Albury, the hot young candidate from the Free National Movement, versus Eva Bain. Neither of whom I know. So I don't know what I have no personal knowledge of either candidate. So I would not be able to bring anything.
Sorry, name the candidates again.
James James Albury and Eva Bain.
James Albury is a fellow who have two citizenship. One, he has a U.S. citizenship, and he needs to declare whether he wants to get rid of one. Isn't that the guy?
I don't know anything about him.
And then Eva Bain, I think, is the PLP's.
She is.
She is the PLP's candidate. I think James Albury has to go through Edison Key, because I understand Edison Key has a bone, and the bone is come through me to get the seat. And so for the most part, Edison Key will be campaigning, not for the FNM in that constituency. So I don't. That's one of those 20 seats. Mm-hmm. The seventh.
I have him as a spoiler.
He's a spoiler. He is a spoiler.
Coalition.
Edison Key. He's not running, but he's the spoiler. You have to go through him to win that seat.
I agree with you. Edison Key has won that seat for both the FNM and the PLP, mm-hmm, at some point.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the way he's been treated by the FNM is going to have some mm-hmm, real something to do with what that outcome is going to be. I don't think he's going to support the PLP, but his not supporting the FNM or him speaking.
You're being nice. I think for the most part, this you say no lotion. I believe he's going to try his best to stick it to the FNM.
Moving to the Central Grand Bahama. That one, I think, is at present still pretty wide open, eh? I know I've been given to understand that Damian Gomez ain't going back. This is Central Ground. I'm sorry, Central and South Eleuthera.
No, I understand Damian Gomez isn't going back.
So, I don't know that the FNM has named a candidate for Central and South Eleuthera as yet. I know that there's a couple of names floating around.
In Central and South Eleuthera?
Yeah.
I know there's names floating around.
I know there's Vaughn Miller, who people like to call Vaughn. I know there's Carl Kulmer. I hear there's Fish Knowles is knocking around too.
Yeah, when you talk
about Hank Johnson is another name.
Hank Johnson is probably the most prominent name that's going around. Vaughn Miller, I think, for the most part, has been somewhat of the loudest name in the past. Mm-hmm. I think when all of the other shebang went on with the oppositional change and all that, a lot of people are, thinking, mm-hmm, thinking a little bit up in the airish.
Yeah, I don't want to call that one yet. Mainly because ain't nobody there to talk about. Central Grand Bahama, the only name that I see here is Iram Lewis, who's been ratified by the FNM.
I don't know. Have you heard anybody from the PLP?
Right now, I know that there are two persons. I know of two persons who have submitted applications.
I know Ginger Moxie is somebody.
Ginger Moxie, the other being the person who contested it last time, Julian Russell.
No, I think
Senator Julian Russell.
I know Ginger's application is being looked at
with the greatest
anticipation in some quarters. But I mean, the man is a senator. He's got some pull with the candidates committee as well.
He's done an excellent job. That seat is traditionally FNM, mm-hmm, and he going against Nico Grant, who's never lost.
Yeah,
and again,
only lost by 100 votes.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, but again,
But I also have again as the Starfish Coalition spoiler, I think Nico is going to play a role there.
Yeah, Nico. For more than intents and purposes.
I don't know that Nico's role would be to stick it to the FNM, though.
No, his role is to stick it to Minutes, not the FNM. Right. And so, for the most part, listen, you came in here. You said no lotion, right?
Yeah, but my question.
Listen, you have to understand the soreness.
I get the soreness.
These people ain't singing Kumbaya.
No, they're not. God help us.
They're singing Kumbaya, and so when you talk about a seat like Central Grand Bahama, and understand that. Aram, who is I have two or three places who are close to me, Lester Cox probably and Sheldon Longley. I have some very close friends.
Mm-hmm.
You can't get closer than Aram Lewis and I. I mean, everybody know how close Aram and I are. But nevertheless, the reality of politics is this. Aram Lewis has to go through Nico Grant in conversation. Nico, how do I... Nico is representing that constituency from Jesus was here. So how do you go and create a relationship with Nico despite all of the soreness?
Yeah, I guess. Reese and Sandoval, Reese Chipman, Perry Christie, Chelly Moss.
Chelly's going to win that seat.
Lorraine Arthur from the Bahamas National Coalition Party. I'm calling that one for Christie. I'm not going to ask any questions.
Why are you doubting Chelly?
Moving on, East Grand Bahama.
No, Chelly Moss, I didn't say it. Quincy did.
I'm calling East Grand Bahama for Peter Turnquest. I don't know who the PLP or the DNA is running there.
I think Peter's done a tremendous job, and I think he's raised his national profile.
Elizabeth, Dwayne Sands versus, I believe it'll be Alex Storr versus Podesta Moore.
Alex Storr has not been concluded, I understand.
That's why I say I believe.
The other name.
Podesta Moore and also Tennille Burrows.
Did you hear anybody else?
I also heard Ron Pinder.
Yeah, Ron Pinder's been doing some walking around up in there.
I think Ron would be a tough sale.
He's not running, but he's been walking around the area.
Mm-hmm. So, can we call Elizabeth?
I live in Elizabeth.
I'd say this. I think I know Alex Storr. I know what he's done in that area. He's campaigned with Melanie Griffin, which is very close. Mm-hmm. I believe that if Alex Storr is in Canada, that he will win that seat. I believe that there will be a tough sale for just about anybody else for that particular seat.
Mm-hmm. I have a
strong suspicion that Tennille will be a spoiler in a lot of ways, though.
She's worked hard.
She's working very hard in that constituency.
She's working hard.
I mean, she has some issues to overcome. I mean, a single young female unattached to a party mm-hmm. is going to be a tough sale in the
She's been working very hard. The other part of it, though, I have a serious problem with Dwayne Sands. I think Dwayne Sands is a mom. He has vacillated too much, in my opinion, whether it's his commitment to Loretta Butler-Turner or his commitment to almost anything. I find Dwayne Sands to be a vacillator. I was a huge fan of his expertise.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he's going to be challenged again in that area.
So are you calling for Alex?
I don't know. I think it's up in the air. I think Ryan Pinder left a sore taste in the mouth of those people in that area. So you have to get over Ryan Pinder, who went to go take care of his family.
Angliston, you got Raymond Rowe, Glenys Hannah-Martin.
That's over.
Wesley Campbell.
That's over.
Over where?
Glenys Hannah-Martin, done.
Keenan?
Yeah, I agree. That's hands down.
I don't know why you call him Bessie Campbell and the rest of the people named to embarrass him on the show today.
Exuma and the Ragged Island. I don't see a candidate for the FNM. I know that Elliot Lockhart and Fenton Nemore have both expressed interest. My belief is that the party is leaning towards Elliot, but...
Yeah. It's unfortunate for the FNM that Fenton has actually gotten what he has gotten in terms of the treatment.
Mm-hmm.
I think Fenton would have made a very good candidate in that area.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's still up in the air. Yeah. I believe Chester Cooper, though, is going to win that seat.
Even over George Smith?
I think... Oh, who? You know, Quincy, you got plenty of jokes today. You won't open up 2007, you're at the bank. No, Chester Cooper, I believe, is going to win that seat.
Fort Charlotte. I'm moving through because we only got a couple more minutes here.
Alfred says...
Mark Humes, Alfred says, I have in the Starfish Coalition, Andre Rollins.
I believe Alfred says is going to win the seat.
Yeah, that's another
right, so we'll call that for Alfred Sayers. I'm calling Fox Hill for Fred Mitchell.
You're not giving me the long jumper chance?
No. Garden Hills, Bransell Rowe, Dr. Kendall Major, Yuri Kemp for the other party.
No, I'm going with the speaker in this one. I think he's done a lot in the area, and he's had the ability. He's one of the few.
He's a man of character.
A man of character, but one of a few who's had the ability to still actually probably gain popularity in the last 5 years.
So Kendall
Major, I believe that he's the kind of person we need in Parliament.
Is Shane Gibson going again or not?
From my understanding,
I haven't
yes.
heard anything different.
From my understanding, yes.
Because a couple of months ago, I remember hearing that
he wasn't sure he was going again. He told me the same thing, that he would have backed out this time around. But from all indication, I think he's been talked back in.
Okay.
So
it's Michael Folks, Shane Gibson, and
I think he's unbeatable in Golden Gates.
Michael Folks can't beat him?
You're talking to your guest?
Yeah, I wanted your view.
My view? I think Shane Gibson is the choice of the base, for sure. But if the base is eroded, then I think he's vulnerable.
I don't think he is at all.
I don't know that Michael Folks is the guy to do it.
There are a couple. I'll say this:
Golden Gates is in the South, and we always know that the South, whoever wins the South, wins the election because that's really where people tend to swing from one way. But when you count the seats as the swing seats, Golden Gates is not counted
as a swing seat,
and that's primarily because of Shane Gibson.
Shane took that seat from an FNM.
But let me say this.
Correct.
Let me say this, though. Shane Gibson, there are three really great politicians right now in this country. Shane is in the top two. Perry Christie is the best politician in this country. Shane Gibson has become a very, very good politician.
All right. So you're all calling that for Shane, then?
No, it's done.
Okay. I'll do two more, only because we got about five minutes left, and I want to wrap up. Then we'll get to the rest of the list next week. The next one is, of course, Golden Isles. Kenyatta Gibson versus Michael Halkidis versus Stephen Greenslade.
This is another good seat, Matt. This is one of those, you know, with the swing seats. This seat here is a very interesting seat, in my opinion, because...
It's definitely a swing seat. But once again, I'm going on the merit of the candidates. Uh-huh. I always have a fundamental issue with persons who go from one party to the next party, and for no good reason besides maybe they've been done wrong in one party. And I don't believe that because you have an issue with the PLP, you automatically on side with the values, whatever they are, of the FNM. And so Kenyatta Gibson is one of those persons, goes from seat to seat, party to party. Michael Halkidis has become more of a politician, but has always been a man of the people. Yeah, he's always been a good statesman.
You know, I say,
if you vote nationally, if you vote for what's in the best interest of the party, you'll see that Michael Halkidis is someone you would want in your cabinet.
Stephen Greenslade has been working really hard in that constituency. I talked about he's been doing some down-to-earth campaigning. I think he's going to be a significant spoiler in that seat. And I don't say this, no other than the fact that this guy has really, really gotten through and through that area. He's been working very hard. I believe Michael Halkidis is going to win it. But I believe Greenslade is going to play a significant role in that regard.
And the last one I'll call today is Kehlani.
Kehlani. I believe Dr. Menzies is going to win that, and I believe that without any cut, without any shave, Dr. Hubert Menzies is probably going to represent Kehlani again.
Well, I think that's a given, but I would also say that's a bit...
I don't know if they can run anybody against him.
Yeah, Jerome Gomez was given the issue of running in that area, and he asked him, why does he keep being sacrificed?
He was given the opportunity, or is he running there?
He's being given the opportunity again.
Once again, you know more than I do, you know.
I
could only say that no one has been ratified with the PLP, but I don't think it would make much of a difference. You always have three seats in NAS in New Providence that will remain FNM.
Well, I say, you know, PLP, FNM, or DNA, let me run against Dr. Menace and give me $500,000 to put in the bank.
Let's call it there for now. So far, the PLP is ahead by a number of seats, but there's Long Island to come, Mangrove Key in South Andros, Marathon,
Long
Marco
Island
City,
is interesting. But
Montague, Mount Moriah is a lot of seats that I think the FNM is going
Long Island is going to be an interesting seat, Quincy. I tell you, if Loretta runs independent in Long Island, can she win that?
I think Loretta can win Long Island. Yes, I think
against Adrian Gibson, I believe the PLP is going to refrain.
Yeah, I don't think
PLP's
going to get in
that. They're not going to run anybody in
that.
That
is the only way that you'll see an independent win. Larry Cartwright.
Yeah.
You have to make some strategic decisions as a party.
Yeah. The PLP is not going to run anyone against Loretta, I predict, in Long Island. And I believe she's going to win because of that. Not a question of whether Loretta can win, but whether the PLP runs somebody, because other than that, they'll be splitting FNM votes.
Yeah, we still have to deal with, like I say, you know, there's a lot of what I see in my next chunk is a lot of traditionally FNM seats. So I have three for the FNM in the first half of what we've called, and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 for the PLP.
Well, as we go, Quincy.
So I think it's going to be what that says to me, given what I think will happen when we call the next set. That says it's a close election.
It's kind of funny because are we saying, though, that this is the same FNM going into the next election? Because that is a big deal.
See, this is
because they're calling this crew the Free National Menace.
Yeah, but this is my point, though. My point is, the reason that I'm doing this is because I think that people are going to come down on the side of voting for the candidate.
I think so, too.
Because the party issue is a problem
right now
for both parties.
Yes.
The
not so much the PLP.
Yes, so much the PLP. People are sick and tired of Perry Christie.
Listen, people are sick and tired of the
and people are Perry sick Christie. And tired of this tell you, idea.
PLP is a strain. They'll be sick and tired of the PLP until after this convention, and then they're going back to their base. There's a reason why I asked this young man what I asked him, you know.
Yeah. Well,
listen, I've been at this thing long enough. Yeah, I've been at this long enough to know. You could mess with the PLP until Jesus come, but when it's time for them to go to the polls, they're going PLP.
Yeah, I hear you.
Only the FNMs put their hand over the name and vote for the torch. Not the BLB.
The I think that time has changed.
You want to believe that?
Yes, I do.
It's changing.
I do want to believe that.
It's still evolving.
Hey guys, listen, man. It's 2017. We're gonna get over here, so that Hubert Edwards doesn't make up his face this year.
We're following the clock this year. Kenan Johnson, thank you very much for your insight and for your time.
Thank you so much, young man.
Ladies and gentlemen, again, Happy New Year. Welcome to Q&A for the new year.
What's this fraternity, sorority, all these same people coming wearing these days? Yeah. Man, this guy got hairs on. The fella here got hairs on.
He's Alpha Phi, whatever.
I can start wearing my, but I have my own on. I have my R on.
Yeah, I wear in the University of the Bahamas.
Renaissance.
Renaissance. Ain't those in your face, baby. All right, we'll see you guys next week.